And currently 63 degrees in Roanoke, Danville, and Salem, 62 in Amherst, 61 in Lynchburg, 63 in Bedford.
So, you know, we had a twin spin at the beginning of the show because I had loaded yesterday's intro. And
it happens.
It happens. So I went ahead and played today's, which had to do with the border. And of course, we've been talking about that. And I was thinking yesterday, and just inadvertently, I actually told my wife, I wanted to do something with Tuesday. So I was thinking of like a twin spin, but and I actually did that this morning. Because that's, you know, like what rock stations do and pop stations. They play the two songs of Michael Bublé back to back or whatever. So I thought the twin spin could be finding a news story and then tagging a song on the end. That could be our twin spin. So Twin Spin Tuesday, we're going to do one in this hour. And matter of fact, I'm getting ready to play. I haven't told you about this, so I want to get your fresh take on this. Are you first a fan of Ben and Jerry's ice cream? Do you, not a fan of them, but their ice cream?
I Chunky Monkey is among my favorites.
Okay.
Yes. And pistachio.
Ben and Jerry, big time activists over the years.
Yes. I hate
and
that.
They love the fact that they're helping influence culture. Mm-hmm. Through their ice cream and the money that you spend on their ice cream. And they're all about voting rights and such. So I think it was Axios through HBO did an interview with these guys. A young journalist who I have great hope that she's going to go on and do great things because she's already sort of making her mark. She's interviewing them about some things and catches Ben and Jerry off guard. They don't know how to answer her question. So you're going to hear some pauses because they were caught off guard.
The co-founders of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream are trying to explain why they are refusing to sell their products in what they called occupied Palestinian territory, but continue to sell them in states in the U.S. with policies that do not align with their political beliefs.
We hugely support Israel's right to exist, but we are against a particular policy.
You guys are big proponents of voting rights. Why do you still sell ice cream in Georgia? Texas, abortion bans. Why are you still selling there?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know what that would accomplish. We're working on those issues of voting rights and... I don't know. I think you ask a really good question.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
There's your twin spin Tuesday.
Nice.
They were caught.
What? Yeah, because the only thing he could say is because I'm greedy and I want the money.
Exactly. I want Republicans and conservatives' money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you sell ice cream.
Right, exactly.
That's your job.
Exactly.
Sell the ice cream.
And I gutted 5 seconds of the one pause. They were literally dumbfounded. The one guy does all the talking. I don't know if it's Ben or Jerry. The other guy's just sitting there.
They
in this
remind
interview.
Me of Penn and Teller.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
A little bit.
The
yeah.
one's just really quiet.
Yeah.
The one's very talkative.
Right.
Except he wasn't very talkative. You ask a really good question.
Yes.
Would you like some Chunky Monkey?
That's right.
So you'll stop asking hard questions?
Chunky Monkey's great.
Anyway.
Our numbers are 434-534-8500. Call us toll free at 866-916-3776. Well, you can also text us at 434-248-0704. My favorite text that I got from a listener yesterday was the picture of a mat that you put in front of your door,
right.
A doormat.
Sure.
It says, send a text when you arrive. No need to knock and get the dogs involved.
Oh.
It's so true.
Oh, when my doorbell goes off, holy cow.
Yeah.
It's like World War III.
It's Armageddon. I don't know. It's like, bark, 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 bark.
Right. Yeah. See, I don't have the low. I got all the high-pitched ear-piercing barking at my house.
Like if I can spot the UPS guy coming down, because we've got that long approach to the house.
Yeah.
If I can see him, I'll go, hey, let's go out on the back deck. And then I can get him out there, and I don't have to deal with that so much.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, you all understand me. Thank you for that. So we had the story yesterday about the teenager in Salem who was given too much dosage.
Oh, yeah, the six doses, yeah.
Of COVID vaccine.
At CVS, yeah.
At CVS in Salem.
Yes.
Apparently, this is not just a problem at the CVS in Salem.
Oh, boy.
Understaffing at some CVS pharmacies throughout Virginia is putting patients at risk.
Wow.
An employee says. Over the last 2 years, employees at a CVS pharmacy in Virginia Beach have raised repeated concerns over patient safety.
Hmm.
At one point, multiple pharmacy technicians told a state inspector that a pharmacist at the store had mistakenly given a patient 100 extra doses of Percocet.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Now, those of you who aren't familiar with Percocet, that is a very, very powerful prescription opiate. I don't know what that street value would be, but probably right up there. Another customer received an antibiotic despite a known history of not tolerating the drug and was taken to the emergency room after an allergic reaction. In another instance, a patient received the right medication with the wrong instructions, who said the oral cholesterol drug came with directions to insert the pills vaginally. Really?
Oh, my gosh.
How does that happen?
Oh, my gosh.
The root of the errors, employees say, was chronic understaffing and an unsustainable workload that made it impossible for pharmacists and technicians to focus on their jobs. How many times have you been to a pharmacy and you see hundreds and hundreds of prescriptions
just sitting there
that they're flipping through to try to find yours? The pharmacist cannot properly concentrate because there's too much to do. A staff pharmacist stated hours had been cut to the point where she didn't know how pharmacy was supposed to function. The findings, which covered a single CVS store, resulted in $427,000 in fines for the chain and one unannounced inspection within the next 12 months. CVS respectfully disagrees with the board's order, according to a spokesperson, and it's considering our options. Look, here's the thing, CVS. You can either take that $427,000 and treat your employees well.
Right.
I mean, it's going to cost you either way.
Oh, yeah, it's going to,
Not to mention, let's not even talk about the lawsuits that are coming.
And the people that will say, you know what, I'm going to Walgreens instead. Or I'm going to, you know, Walmart pharmacy or whatever, you know.
They said the sheer number of people, this is from former CVS employees, the sheer number of people who go home and cry because of the pressures they're under is unbelievable, said a former CVS pharmacy in Hampton Roads, who's still part of a Facebook group for mothers in the industry. You're so mentally drained. You don't have time for your family. I was only existing, going to work, coming home, do whatever I could to hit the numbers so the patients were taken care of.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. And I've had this happen a couple of times. Now, I was raised in a home where my mother was chronically ill. So being extra vigilant about medications was just a part of our everyday life.
How you grew up.
I learned at an early age how to double check and triple check and make sure you knew what was going on. You have got to read your prescriptions. You've got to make sure you're getting the right thing.
Right.
If that, like, if that patient had looked to see what the antibiotic was, they would have known they can't take it.
And there's
if you can't take Augmentin, and you look down, it says Augmentin.
Right.
So you need to have you need to take the responsibility. Don't trust.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's a level of trust there. I mean, it's my pharmacy.
There is, but you can't blindly. You just can't. And I was always like that with my children. And here's another thing. If you are questioning at all, for example, if you get a prescription that you take all the time and you get that pill and it looks different, you can take that a picture of that pill.
Right.
There are apps that will tell you exactly what that pill is. You can type in the number that's on the pill.
Right.
and it will tell you exactly what that's for.
Yeah.
Everybody right now is understaffed and overworked, from the grocery stores to, which, you know, it's stressful for them, but at least nobody's life is in danger.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But this, I mean, you want to make sure, and it's interesting that this is the topic, because I saw an interview yesterday, Janet, of airline pilots. I mean, they're retiring early.
Yeah.
The process that it takes to train new pilots to come in, I mean, it's, this ain't the police academy, and no disrespect to police, please don't misunderstand, but they typically is 8 weeks, and you can get through police academy and get you on track to be a good policeman or policewoman. Pilots, it's a whole different ballgame.
Absolutely.
It takes a long time, and they are leaving, and now there is this guy was all over TV yesterday heading up a pilots group that they do not want to be vaccinated. And they're, through the president's mandate, and I think that's where we talked yesterday, the word mandate, just that alone, is causing people to say, you know what, I'm taking a second look at this. They don't want to be told what to do.
Right.
And pilots are not being vaccinated. And this guy went on to say, you don't understand, if we lose a bunch of pilots, he said, that's what happened with the Southwest just over the weekend.
Yeah.
That we're looking at that times 10 or more. And he said, not only do they transport people, they transport organs for operations.
That's right.
You don't understand what goes into the belly of a plane. It's not just people in the seats. There's a lot of commerce that takes place on these airplanes.
Yeah.
And we had the story before the show. Hey, and we were joking about these refrigerators that are dark brown that were made in the 80s that are still working.
The gold, Harvest Gold.
Yes.
And even before the 80s that
they
are still running.
They were talking about people, if you want a specialized refrigerator, you may just want to go get something during the interim period, because you could be waiting up to a year for a refrigerator like the one you really want. I mean,
can you imagine building a house right now?
Oh, I would be going insane. I wouldn't build a house right now because of the costs are just so off the charts, and you can't get subs to show up because, here again, we've got a work supply problem. We're going to have Mark Dalton here in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about the supply chains, how it's affecting the car industry. Mark coming up at 8:06, and then
really been impacted.
Yeah. A lot of Mark's here today. Marco Galbraith is going to be here here in just a little bit.
Yeah, and he's got a special event coming up in honor of our veterans, and that's going to be with Glenn Youngkin. He'll be talking about that, and we'll be talking about some of these shootings that we've had.
Yeah, just recently.
Lately, and the things, you know, the situational awareness and how important that is right now, especially with the one like in Hollywood where the guy was visually agitated and things like that. You know, how can you avoid making sure that doesn't happen?
Exactly.
Happen to you. So we'll be back with more here on The Morning Jam. I'm Janet Rose.
I'm Mark Lamb at 7:19.
When the going gets tough.
The definition of the word jam:
to pack something tightly, a machine seizing or becoming stuck, a sweet preserve made from fruit, a common sense radio talk show. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. The Morning Jam, 434-534-8500, or toll free 866-916-3776. Call The Morning Jam. The Morning Jam.
7:23, little ELO in the background. Trey Lyle checks in with us. We're going to keep this brief because we're not a sports show, but it is interesting that I saw the article that popped up about Gruden, coach of the Raiders, originally coach of the Raiders, and went to Tampa Bay, then had an awesome career, I think, in ESPN.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Monday Night Football, was doing really good, decided to go back into coaching, has been booted out. I think, what is their record? I'm just curious, the record.
They started undefeated, and they've lost two straight, so 3-2.
Okay, so they so that has nothing to do with it. Found some old emails.
Oh, he had a 10-year, $100 million contract, so he was very secure before all this.
Okay, so I don't know how far back these emails go where he said some misogynistic things and some racist comments and so on.
2014, 2013 through 2017.
Okay, so fairly recent. We're not talking like 20 years ago.
It was when he was at ESPN. Like, basically, let's put it that way.
So he said some things that we really can't, you know, say on the air, but just give us a little implication of how bad it was.
Let's put it this way. There were some racist emails, misogynistic emails attacking women, and homophobic emails. And this is coming from the coach that has the first openly gay active NFL player to play in a game, and Caleb Nassib, who came out this past summer. Mm-hmm. And this was a part of, ironically, the Washington football team investigation into their workplace, because this was emails exchanged with him and Bruce Allen, who was the GM at the time, who's good friends. Ironically, his brother was also the head coach during a period of this. And it, I think another part of this is ironic, is nothing about Dan Snyder has come out, who this investigation is centered around.
Is really about the owner of the
Washington and I think part of the reason this came out, granted, I believe this is awful and he deserved to be let go as a head coach. When mm-hmm. you're in a, you know, you have corporate sponsorships.
Sure, sure.
You have the first openly gay player in the league, and 70% of your league is African American. Like, this was,
and yet some of the players were defending him.
Yeah, I think this was when the first email came out, and then it kind of snowballed from there.
Right.
Like, the first email came out the other day, and it was an attack of Damaris Smith, who's the head of the Players Association.
Right.
And then the rest came out, and then it kind of it snowballed into what it was.
All right, just a quick answer here, and then we're going to let you go. Marco Galbraith is going to be coming in soon to talk to us.
An upgrade.
No, you're doing fine, young man. Come on, give yourself some credit. Can he rehabilitate himself, and how long will it be before we see Gruden in any form?
Who knows?
Whether it's on ESPN,
Tennessee might hire him one day. Who knows? Like that, I don't know. I doubt it.
We've seen it. We've seen it happen before.
With politicians.
Well, and we've seen it happen with coaches. Yeah. Look at the coach up at Liberty.
Yeah, I doubt in the NFL. Maybe Tennessee.
Oh, a college team.
Like,
pick him up.
Tennessee is the University of Tennessee is very much in love with the idea of John Gruden as their head coach.
Okay.
That's kind of the only way I could see it.
Okay.
Jay says if they can get Gruden, they can get anybody. Beware of the woke.
Isn't that the truth?
But it seems he was pretty extreme.
What are you guys talking about, by the way, on the fast lane
today?
Ed
is at ECC Media Days for basketball, so he's in Charlotte right now. So he'll have tons of interviews, including Mike Young and Tony Bennett. So fun show on deck today.
Not Tony Bennett, the singer, the coach.
Yes.
Okay.
I love Tony
Thanks a
Bennett.
Lot. I know.
He's such a great singer.
He is a good singer.
Someone texted in and said, Mark, you're wrong about the police academy.
Oh, it's more than 8
Central
weeks.
Central Virginia Criminal Justice Academy is 6 months long.
I am so sorry.
And they're considering adding additional requirements, making it longer.
Thank you for that correction.
Yeah,
I stand
corrected.
We always
welcome that.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm thinking I heard that somewhere, but maybe I just pulled it out of my hat, which I'm not even wearing today. So it came from another place that is further south, but we're not going to go there.
Something like that. Well, Kroger is having a big hiring event.
Yeah.
It's going to be taking place tomorrow if they're looking to hire thousands in the area. You can register for the hiring event. I've put the link on our Facebook page.
Okay.
There's a lot of good positions there. It's a good company to work for.
Yeah.
They have a lot of benefits and things like that.
Okay.
If you want to find out more, you can go to that link that we put on our Facebook page and get more information that way.
Okay.
And, so that's a good opportunity. They're doing virtual interviews and in person.
Okay. Got it.
So there you go.
All right.
Coming up, we'll have your Kimberly McBroom. Mm-hmm. She'll be getting us some more information on a few stories that she's working on.
All right.
We have one out of Danville. The shooting there of an 88-year-old. Yeah, I know. That's just terrible. We also had a shooting in Vinton yesterday.
Yeah.
And then she's got a story out of Roanoke about a vaccination clinic that's going to be coming tomorrow.
Okay. I have a story about chicken salad.
Of course you do. Why would I
that it doesn't take 8 weeks to make either.
Yeah. The hard-hitting news here with Mark Lamb.
That's right. Well, my reference to the 8 weeks was comparing...
Do you just do a search for food stories? Is that... Because I've never seen so many food stories.
The food stories are part... You know, you have a DNA, right? Okay. And in, on the internet, you've got a DNA, too. It's your algorithm. And algorithms, you know, kind of... Look, I must have looked for one food story in my entire radio career at this radio station anyways, and they just keep popping up.
I cook all the time, and I don't get those.
You know what's happening? Because we talk about food so much with the Five and Dine, my phone picked it up.
Then why is mine not picking it up?
I don't know.
I think if we cut you, you bleed Dukes, I'm pretty sure. I think that's
well,
how that might go.
Well, at least it's Dukes. You ought to be happy about that.
Well, I am. I'm pretty darn pleased about it. I don't mind telling you.
Yes.
So on a more serious note, yes. We are expecting to hear more about the Gabby Petito cause of death.
Okay.
That should be coming out a little bit later on today.
Right.
A private investigator is saying asphyxiation may have been the cause of death. Jeez. But
no more news from Dog the Bounty Hunter on,
not that
on
I'm
the
aware
search
of,
or anything.
But the her death has been ruled a homicide, but they are due to come out today with some findings. I know a lot of people are following that case.
Okay.
As far as I know, laundry's still on the lam.
Yeah. Well, we'll have Marco Gabbreth in the studio. I'd like to maybe ask him, you know, about maybe some of those things to look out for. If you think you're with somebody that could be dangerous, maybe some of those characteristics to watch out for. I've been called dangerous, but it's mainly because there's Reese cups on the counter.
Right.
You might want to put those up for markets.
Yet another food item.
Oh, gosh. It's 7:31 almost. CBS News Brief coming up next. And as Janet said, local stories, chicken salad for me.
It's my story about chicken salad. 63 degrees now in Danville, Roanoke, and Salem. 61 in Amherst. We have 61 in Lynchburg and 63 in Bedford.
As teased before the break, I have my chicken salad story.
Oh, good.
Chicken Salad Chick, the nation's only fast casual chicken salad restaurant concept, announced yesterday opening a new location in Roanoke. The second location opened in the greater Roanoke community following the opening of the Christiansburg location earlier this year. It was in April. As Chick fans, and I'm not quite yet there yet, but I may be after I try one of their sandwiches, they got pretty excited about this this opening. So maybe it's like, you know, where we're sitting here in Lynchburg, sometimes people just line up and you have to wait a couple of months before you can actually get in because you don't have an hour to kill. But
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, I'd heard of them.
Do they have like different kinds? I guess they have different kinds.
Yeah, yeah. All kinds of stuff. So it's going to be opening up on Tuesday, October the 19th. The location is 4340 Electric Road. So they're going to be offering free chicken salad for a year to the first 100 guests. Are you kidding me? Can I just skip the show that day? I'll do it remotely.
Way too excited about the food. Way too excited. Campbell County Department of Public and Employee Relations issued a notice to community members yesterday about the county's phone lines. Apparently, they were inoperable, and they were sending callers straight to voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
According to county officials, 911 calls and online services were not affected by the phone issues. They apologized for the inconvenience, and their technicians were aware, and they are on it. And hopefully that is going to be remedied or has already been restored according to their Facebook page. But yeah, okay. Yesterday was pretty interesting, I think, for them.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that at least 911
wasn't impacted because
you know, in Bedford not that long ago.
Right.
It was.
Is it too early or too late, rather, to put in time for Tuesday off next week? And just, you know, 7 to 10 a.m., I'd have to get there early.
Are you still talking about the chicken salad? This is my life. I mean, seriously.
That other voice you hear laughing in the background is Marco Galbraith.
I'm like, how do you even find these stories?
Well, last week
they find me.
You had me craving donuts last week with that, and I'm like, wow, yeah, yeah,
yeah. The mini donut lady. Over there at the backyard.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Marco. Thanks.
I know.
Or Kane's. And
we're going to go at this all day, all morning now, because we got him going.
Nah, we got bigger fish to fry.
Oh, fried fish.
Fried fish. Oh, Lord. Tartar sauce and grits.
Yeah, because I grew up Catholic. I mean, yeah. Friday was fish day.
Right, right.
You better be glad I'm not running the board, because your mic would be gone.
be like Ben and Jerry's, just silent.
That's right.
I can't answer the question.
Ice cream for dessert. Thank you, Marco.
That's a good question. That was a good question.
Oh, yeah, that was classic.
So usually when we bring you in, it's because not great things have been occurring. I think we've seen more violence here in the past few weeks, locally and nationally, than we've seen in quite some time. I mean, we had that shooting in Vinton, that took place yesterday at McDonald's, like last night around 9:30. We've had multiple stories over the weekend, including the one that we talked about out of Hollywood. The woman was shot on the subway train.
Right. Armed carjacking in Lynchburg.
Armed carjacking in Lynchburg. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And a lot of people not able to get the mental health help that they need. That's even worse than ever because of COVID right now, and short staffing on police staff and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. We want you to address a little bit about, you know, what things you need to look for when you're out and about, like the situation. Let's go to the situation in Lynchburg that took place last week.
Yeah, it sounds like that they were, you know, these boys flagged the car over. Mm-hmm. Maybe the people thought they were needing help, but it goes back to situational awareness. It goes back to don't put yourself in a situation or a location that you know is bad or you think is bad. Now, I don't know what street, I didn't read the article. I don't know what street this was on or what area it was in. But if you're in an area and something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. And there's nothing wrong, the time that we're living in now, there's nothing wrong if somebody's trying to flag you down, go around them. And then go at the end of the street and call the police or keep traveling and say, hey, I was in the whatever 100 block of whatever street.
And there's some kids trying to flag down a car.
They might want to check some help. That's right.
And that's what I would have done. And I have done that.
Absolutely.
Before.
Right.
If I saw somebody broken down on the side of the road and they're kind of waving, then I would call 911. Because, let's face it, most kids have a cell phone.
Right. Yep. That's right. Right.
I mean, they do. Now, I think maybe what helped that situation was the youngest child was, 12?
Yeah. And now those kids have a stolen cell phone, so they do have the ability to call.
Right.
Right.
Jeez. Yeah, that's right.
A little sarcasm. But you know, it goes back to don't put yourself in a situation that you don't feel comfortable doing. Situation awareness and be aware of your surroundings. And there's always, it's okay to remove yourself from somewhere where you don't feel comfortable.
In the situation in Hollywood, The man, they said he was obviously agitated. He was pacing the train and then got into an altercation with this woman.
And shot her.
And then just stepped off the train.
Yeah.
You have to be aware of those things and get away.
You do. The biggest problem is our limbic system in the brain is wired to protect us. It doesn't hesitate. It doesn't reason. It doesn't do math. It doesn't communicate. It's simply wired to protect us, but we have that human part of the brain that's telling us you're okay. This isn't what you think it is. Right. You're being paranoid.
You're overreacting.
You're overreacting. Don't listen to your gut. We got to listen to that limbic system that tells us something's not right. Remove yourself. Go away. But that human part of the brain is going to tell us you're being paranoid. You're going to get in trouble for you know.
And I tell my kids all the time, you know, if you're afraid of being embarrassed, who cares if you're embarrassed?
You're alive.
You don't know these people.
Your blood stays in your body. Your wallet stays in your money stays in your wallet because you're not going to get sued. Or, you know, there is nothing wrong at all with retreating. Nothing at all with retreating.
All right. So let's switch over to the Gabby story, which we were talking about before Marco came in. This is a classic situation where there are all kinds of documented examples of why she should not have been with this young man. Let's talk about some of the things that women need to look for. Women are the best at, or the worst downplaying things.
Right.
Oh, you know, that's not what he means. Right. That wasn't meant in a threatening
way.
He
had a bad day.
Right.
That's why he hit me. It's okay. He apologized. The thing we have to realize is that there is a way out. I hear a lot of women that say, I couldn't leave because we had kids. I couldn't leave because he put a roof over our heads. I couldn't leave because he was my financial support. There are ways to get help and to remove yourself from that. And and it's going to progress. From what I've seen in my police career, what I've done with research is once somebody hits you, whether it's male or female, once somebody goes hands-on with you, it's going to progress and it's going to continue. So, you know, stuff on your person that you're dating or married to has a tracking device on your phone.
Right.
What we talked about earlier. They want to remove you from your friends. They want to control
isolate
you financially,
you.
Isolate you. Mm-hmm. They hit you and they say that they're sorry. That's unacceptable. No, nobody should go hands-on.
And I mean, it's different if your significant other wants to know you got to work safe. That's
right.
One thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if they're tracking your every move,
right.
That's different.
Yeah, that is different. It's a form of stalking, although you're married or you're dating them, but it's a form of stalking. And we all have to be individuals and have our own freedom. And, you know, you can work as a team as a husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, but there has to be mutual agreeing and you can't, it's not fully controlling. And I just did a lengthy video with a girl that her name is Summer, and she came out of she wanted to talk about her event and was talking about how it progressed. It was little things. It started with punching holes in the wall. And she's going to, we did this video. She's going to put it out publicly, but she wanted to do it to let other ladies know that, that you can remove yourself from that. And there's help. And she's got a brand new baby. He put her in a house. He worked to help pay the bills. Things were in both their names. And she decided, no, the thing that made her decide was, he had her on the bed one day, upside down with her head off the bed, choking her. And she's looking at her child upside down and thinking, I'm going to die in front of my child. That's horrible.
How does it get to that point?
Yeah.
And then they're embarrassed.
Embarrassed, yeah.
And the same thing happens with men. There are men
who are
abused by women.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to tell people that they've gotten themselves in that.
It's not,
they will isolate you, and they will control your money, and they will embarrass you.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, I'm not sitting here saying that it's just women. No, it works both ways.
It does.
There, people, men and women, both get abused, and you have to reach out for help. You have to ask for help. Recognize the signs, and reach out for help.
Now, speaking to that, you have a podcast that deal with a variety of subjects. So, if someone's interested in a longer form, how do they access that?
It's anchor.fm/T4Tactics. The easiest way is just go to my website, click on podcast. It'll take you to the Anchor site, and you can scroll a whole bunch of situational awareness classes, domestic violence information. There's podcasts on there to get help. There's self-defense, firearm, active shooter information.
And it's all free.
All free. Absolutely. And I try to keep most of them short, within 20 to 40 minutes. So it's not something really lengthy that you're tied down to.
Quick question, and I didn't warn you about this coming in, but it's hit me. The Squid Game, the thing, the challenge that was put out just a couple of weeks ago to kids on TikTok to punch a school teacher a certain week.
Yeah.
That's how culture, social media and culture and media in general, entertainment, is influencing us to do wrong.
Yeah.
As a former policeman, I mean, what kind of conversations do you think are going on currently around the country in a local police station saying, guys, we have to watch out for this? What's that like for a law enforcement?
I retired in 07, and I can't imagine what it's like being law enforcement or a police officer in this country just within the past 3 or 4 years.
Right.
But you remember years ago, there was a knockout challenge where you'd put on social media,
you'd
run up behind somebody and knock them out.
Right.
Because I talked to my kids about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it was taking place everywhere.
Right. Yeah. But I can't imagine what the police officer's saying, you know, what are we going to do with this? How are we going to handle it? Where do we start? Does it start in schools? It goes back to, and here we go with McAuliffe. I don't understand how McAuliffe can say The parents cannot be connected to schools.
Right.
And they don't have a voice.
They don't have a voice. Right. That doesn't. So does that mean when you send your kid, when your kid walks out of your front door to go to school or the playground or park, you don't have any control as a parent?
Yeah, that, it's kind of crazy.
And that's the problem. We need to get parents involved with their kids.
Right.
Speaking to that, we've got an event coming up tomorrow with Glenn Youngkin at your place. We're going to talk about that when we return here on the Morning Jam. It's going to be held from 4 to 6. We'll tell you more when we come back.
You put it on your toast and on the radio at daybreak.
The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark, 6 to 9 a.m.
7:51, I want a Marco. And we got him in the studio.
Yeah, we do. Now, you've got an event coming up tomorrow. You know, we love our law enforcement folks.
Yep.
We really appreciate first responders. It breaks my heart to see how our police are being treated right now.
Yeah.
Tell us about this event that you've got coming up tomorrow from 4 to 6.
Glenn Youngkin wants to do an appreciation for law enforcement event. And they reached out to me. They want to do it at the office. So we've got, literally, we've got law enforcement chiefs, sheriffs, officers coming from all over the region. It's not just local. We've got a lot of elected officials that are going to be there. But it's a chance for Glenn to meet and greet law enforcement and show his appreciation. And that's what it is. The campaign has said it's nothing more than he just wants to show appreciation for what they do and what they continue to do. Hmm. And that's nice.
How refreshing.
Yeah, exactly, because we don't hear that. We don't hear politicians doing that. Well, we hear them in their commercials doing it when it's time for election, but do they really do it? So he wants to really do it.
Now, is this just for active law enforcement?
It can be for retired, active.
You need to register if you want to come?
No, just come by. We're set up to have a lot of people, and I think it's going to be a big event. But it's also a time to, you know, to meet a police officer or a chief or sheriff and ask them what's going on, and if you can meet Glenn, shake his hand and say hello to him. And so it's support for everything, but mainly it's focused on supporting law enforcement.
Excellent.
Yeah,
that's
it'd be
great.
A good event, and they need that support, especially with what LPD put out yesterday with having to shift. That's very concerning.
Yeah, taking resource police out of schools,
and they have to do that. I understand they have to do it, but that is very concerning.
Because they haven't been on the street for a while.
Right. And what they're saying is calls for service are going to take a lot longer to get there now because they are stretched very thin. We've got to support law enforcement. We've got to pay them more. We've got to get some good people in there. Mm-hmm. Our law enforcement have to be paid more.
And they even, Chief Zudema even said that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We're certainly not
How about we not build another frickin' circle in this town and pay some policemen? Sorry, I almost said the bad word, but anyway. I mean, it's silly.
Yeah, there's priorities that we can do, and one of them should be public safety. The top priority should be public safety.
Well, and the other thing that they're having to deal with, they're getting more mental health-related calls than ever before.
Right. People don't know how... The general public thinks, fire department, police department, it's okay. They're funded okay. When you need them, you're going to wish they were funded okay. And so we've got to pay the police and the fire department more. Or that's what keeps the town or city or county secured.
Yeah,
is police departments and fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
and we talk about all the time with these shootings that we see, whether they're local or they're national. Mm-hmm. When you get down to the core issue, it comes down to mental health.
Mm-hmm. It does.
That's where you want to stop systemic, shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to go to the root of the problem.
That's right.
And most of the time, it's mental health.
Right.
And when they get these calls, Chief Zudema was saying that they've gotten an increase in mental health related calls, and the officers who respond to those sometimes have to stay with the patients for days.
That's ridiculous how it's set up. I don't want to keep saying this is how we did it. You know, I don't like saying, this is how we did it up north. This is how we did it in Florida. But in Florida, we had a Baker Act, which was the same thing. You take somebody in to custody, you drop them off at the hospital, and then the staff takes them. It probably took us a half hour. And I'll tell you one thing, that system here is broken.
Yeah.
There is no reason at all to tie up a police officer that long mm-hmm. when we can turn them over to the proper medical staff,
sure.
psychiatric staff, to take care of them.
I've had that conversation. I've had people say, we are getting ready to Baker Act him because I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
And like you say, it puts them in that process where
they're
a lot more trained.
But that's this is a state issue.
Mm-hmm. It is a state issue.
And that's something that needs to be talked about with Glenn Youngkin.
And Northam has closed several facilities that help these people.
They weren't even accepting mental health patients not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. But we can't be tying up police officers for this. It's mental health is important, but it needs to be take the person to the mental health facility, properly turn them over, and get back on the road and start answering calls.
And they're working with Horizon Behavioral Health with that.
Good.
But state law requires an officer be present in many cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So until we get rid of that, their hands are tied.
Yeah, and I think it's important for the police officer to make decisions that this person is a danger to themselves or others, and let's go ahead and take them into a facility.
Sure.
I think that part's important. But the process of turning them over should not take hours and hours or days. Literally, days.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So apparently the department has been trying to convince the state to change those laws for a while now.
Yeah.
So that's something that we need to put pressure on our representatives and get that changed.
Yeah, get something done.
Because it does need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Mental health is critical in crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's the start of everything, I think, many times. We've talked about that on the show.
And it's that threat assessment. I just did a video on threat assessment for a YouTube video and a podcast on the shooting that occurred at the Dallas Timberview Church.
Yes.
Or school.
School, yeah.
Yeah. And that was they missed the threat assessment on that.
Mm-hmm.
They missed the threat, and that's why the shooting occurred.
Yeah. And so expand on that just a little bit.
So threat assessment is a non-adversarial process. Every facility, every single facility should have a threat assessment team. Very easy to set up. It doesn't cost anything to run it, but the threat assessment team, for instance, in this shooting in Dallas at this school, this kid was being bullied. His lunch money was being stolen. Mm-hmm. He was being beat up. This is going on and on and on and on. If they had a threat assessment team that caught it, then somebody would have said, okay, let's get this boy help. Let's find out who the bullies are.
And deal with it.
We've addressed the problem. But by ignoring a problem or not having a threat assessment team set up at your facility, these are how these shootings occur.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of businesses that I've trained throughout the country that have called and said, hey, the threat assessment team you set up worked. Here's what happened. And we identified it.
Sure.
And again, it's once you get it set up and running, it's free. Mm-hmm. And it's not time consuming at all.
Right.
It's just a team that works. Threats can come from internal or external.
Right.
And they can come from many different ways.
Yeah.
But we got to have a team set up to stop that threat.
Yeah.
Leah says, along with mental health is a soft judicial system.
Mm.
Yeah, we have gone soft with that.
Yeah.
Hey, on a lighter note, Marco, wife's not real happy with you right now because we had the donuts were behind me. I mean that old donut story was
and now I brought it
in
up
the
again.
Past and now it's been stirred up.
We also have another listener who pointed out, you know, we're moving our resource officers out of the schools.
Bad, mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah,
bad. There's your threat assessment team leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a problem.
That's a huge, huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bad guys are going to go where there's no resistance.
Right, sure.
They're going to go for that soft target. We're creating a soft target.
Sure.
Yeah. Bad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marco. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
If you only caught part of Marco's interview, we'll have it uploaded here a couple hours after the show. We put everything on SoundCloud, including Janet's Five and Dine, all the interviews that we do and the whole show. And then we just started about a week ago putting our show opener. We call it the Morning Jam Eye Opener. Go to SoundCloud, type in the Morning Jam on VTRN and today's date, and you'll get all the content that you've heard this morning.